Good morning, everybody. Wake up. It's the weekend. Welcome to Mental Note. It's your girl, Purpose Vision, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Guys, as promised, I have a very special guest with me today in the studio, Miss Stephanie L. Jones. She is the author of the book, The Enemy Between My Legs, which is currently on Amazon Top 100 list, as well as she's been on all the shows from Michael Bazin to Reverend Al Sharpton, and she's gracing us this morning here on Blog Talk Radio. So we do appreciate that. Miss Stephanie, are you there?
I am here. Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, good morning. I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay, let's jump right in. I'm going to read something here starting at the beginning of The Enemy Between My Legs. Right here in the introduction, at the end of the introduction, you have, "In this book, I reveal the truth about a subject few people will openly talk about. It is time to do so because sexual abuse hurts everyone, male and female, rich and poor, black and white, young and old. I want the people reading this book to find hope in my story. If you or someone you know has been a victim of sexual abuse, the time has come for you to let go of the pain, shame, and guilt and begin to live a life of love, joy, and freedom." I thought that was so profound. We all hear about sexual abuse. Probably not as much as we should, Stephanie. But I want you to tell us what exactly brought you to the place of writing this book within yourself. What brought you to this?
I would say the book is really an extension of my ministry and what I do, because going out and speaking and actually talking to people is what I love to do. Going out into the schools, going out into women's groups, to churches, that's what I love to do most, to be in front of people and to see their faces and to talk to them personally. Mm-hmm. So I really didn't want to write a book. I'm always saying that because that's the truth. I always say I'm not an author. I've just authored a book.
Well, I hope it's going to be a second book. What are you talking about?
Everyone keeps saying that. I've heard that probably at least about a good six
it's
or
phenomenal.
Seven times just this week. But I have to give God praise for that, because, I mean, I really love what I do. I started talking about sexual abuse, but it was two things that happened in my life. I just call them just two profound moments that happened. One was when I realized the effect that it had on me personally and that it was mm-hmm. having on my marriage. I was having a very difficult time communicating with my husband, not mm-hmm. just verbally but intimately. And a conversation that I had with a young lady, at the time I really didn't know her. She was just really starting an organization here in Detroit called the Women of Virtue. And mm-hmm. she asked me about what can we do to, you know, help decrease the number of teen pregnancies that we were seeing specifically here in this area and in our public school system. And I said to her, I said, you know, no one could tell me not to have sex at 13 years old
mm-hmm.
because that's what I knew. I had been sexually abused for so long and for so many years that it was like second nature to me. It was just another part of my life. I didn't think of it as something that, you know, I shouldn't be doing. I knew it wasn't right, but mm-hmm. it was just something that I wasn't afraid of. It was just something that just happened. And I didn't think, like, oh, wow, this is, you know, you're too young to be doing this. Because,
right.
like I said, it was something that, you know, I was just so used to happening in my life. And that's how it came about.
After going into the schools and talking to these young people and trying to reduce the teen pregnancy rate and that sort of thing, are you finding that that it's a vast majority, you know, of 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds who are not afraid of having sex and who may have been sexually abused?
Oh, yes. I mean, it is so common. When we look at the fact that they're stating at least one out of three or one out of four females are sexually abused by age 16, I mean,
wow.
we're looking at 33 to 40% of the female population. And I want to take a second to apologize here. I've had a terrible cold
last week,
so if my voice sounds a little raspy here. But we're looking at a huge number of the female population. I mean, when I go into a school, I can't tell you the number of girls who will either come and tell me personally, or they'll tell me that it's someone they know have been sexually abused because they're afraid of telling me. I was, for a great while, I was mentoring at one school for almost an entire school year. And that's where it really started for me, is one particular high school here in Detroit. And at the end of that year, all of the young ladies had to write me a letter. And I think I probably had maybe about 60 to 70 girls in my session. And all of them, it seems like, had been sexually abused. It was just amazing.
God.
It was amazing. And one of the things that they were told not to do was not to put down their name if they didn't want to, because we kind of knew that if they were to do that, then they would hold back on a lot of things. So really it was just to get some feedback from them. And so many of them had been sexually abused. It seems like all of them. There were very few of them that had not been. I had a young lady reach out to me on MySpace, because I have a lot of young girls contacting me via MySpace, and she said to me, it seems that all of my friends, all of us have been sexually abused, and it's just something that's just happened.
Why do you think that is? I mean, why do you think that is such a big epidemic? What is it with these, well, and I guess sometimes it's not even really grown men. It could just be other children, right, from reading your book.
Absolutely.
It could be older other children, sexually abusing other children. So why do you, you know, why do you think that is?
I think sexual abuse is a problem, and such a huge problem, because we do not talk about it. So because we do not talk about it, it then becomes a generational problem. We're not dealing with something that just happens haphazardly. We're dealing with something that passes down from one person to the next. And let me explain to you what I mean by that, because you just hit the nail on the head. What I see happening here is that you'll have, take a young man, he's 13 or he's 14 years old, and he has been sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
Because young men are sexually abused too.
And yeah, although people don't want to look at that, but go ahead.
Yes, yes. And then what happens is that he then will go on to sexually abuse his younger sister. So you have a situation where, say, the mom may work or the parents may work, so he's left at home to babysit his sister. And
or brother, right?
Or brother. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, because young men do sexually abuse young men. And I want to say, I'm not saying that everyone who is molested or sexually abused then goes on to be a, you know, a child abuser, but this is something that is very, very common. I'm dealing with the facts and what I'm told here, how what the stories that I can tell you that 90% of the people who reach out to me, they tell me this over and over again. And so that's how it becomes a generational problem, is that it's something that just keeps passing on and passing on, because then that 8-year-old little girl will go on to touch another little girl in her family or one of her younger siblings. Or then you may have a situation where take a young man or a young lady who is sexually abused at a young age for a number of years, like I was, and they never got any help for that problem. Well, at some point, that young man or that young lady is going to become a teenager or an adult, and they've never dealt with that sexual arousal, that lust that is in them. And they're put in a situation where they're around children, and then what happens? you know, it overtakes them. And
right.
so they go on. It's something they continue to do as an adult.
And that was going to be my next question to you is, not only as the individual, how should they go about trying to help themselves, but as a community, what can we do to try and kind of put a stop to this? You know what I mean? How can should we just be more vigilant with our children and overprotective, I guess, to make sure that, you know, they're not left with kids or, you know, or older teenagers, or because there's really no way to look at a person and say, hey, you may sexually abuse my daughter, my son. So, I mean, how do you think we should go about trying to get a handle on this?
I think there's a number of things we can do. I believe it first starts with us talking about this issue. We have to talk about it. We have to bring awareness to it. We have to talk to our children personally, not just a one-time conversation, but it needs to be something that we talk to them about ongoing, continuously, as they are young children through their teenage years, to say to them, don't ever let anyone touch you, but then go into some detail as to who anyone and everyone is.
Mm-hmm.
Explain to them that means even their mom, their father, a brother, a sister, a sibling, an aunt, an uncle, that it means everyone. I mean, do not let anyone touch you improperly. And then explain to them, you know, exactly what sexual abuse is. Because a lot of times when we hear the word sexual abuse, the only thing that stands out in that is the word sex.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be confusing to a child. Well, they may not consider it sex. I don't even want to say just being, because I don't want to take the seriousness out of it. But if
right.
they are being kissed, rubbed.
Well, now I hear nowadays young kids don't think oral sex is really sex.
Exactly.
I've been seeing that on the news and different places that, you know, teenage, and I have a 14-year-old that I talk to as well as a 17-year-old. Well, he'll be 14 in June, but at any rate. And I talk to him about what is this that kids don't think oral sex is real sex. And he literally said that some girls think because they haven't given away their virginity, you know, that they haven't had intercourse, that they're still virgins, but they're having oral sex.
Yes. And a lot of that has to do with what has happened to them. And they don't see it as a way for them to get pregnant, so it's not sex to them, which is why I
wow.
said we really have to explain to children what we mean by sexual abuse, that we're talking about fondling, we're talking about kissing, hugging, touching you in the wrong way, anything that is inappropriate. One thing that I never really thought about, that I've had quite a few people reach out to me and say to me that a way they were exposed to sex or sexual abuse is through pornography.
Mm.
You know, their parents or different people they were around watched a lot of pornography.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a way for that was their introduction to it. And one young lady wrote me a letter and said she saw so much porn in her house that at a very young age, at 6, 7, 8 years old, she found herself masturbating. And it's something
wow.
that even as an adult in her 30s now that she struggles with. She said as a child, as a young girl and as a teenager, she found herself trying to relieve that urge any way that she could. She wrote in her letter to me that it went as far as her using sheets, her own bed sheets, to just relieve that urge. She would do anything that she could. But look how it was introduced to her through her parents watching porno movies. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So,
and so who would think that would entice a kid 6 or 7 years old who you think mentally is not even going there, not thinking about sex, right?
Absolutely.
So even if they see it, I mean, I don't know. At 6 or 7 years old, you're hoping that they really don't even know what they're looking at.
But they do.
But they do, exactly.
And a lot of people would say to me, well, you know, they're children. They don't understand. Well, I tell people, I say, you think about it. You think about this. You take a 5 or 6-year-old and listen to them say every single word, every single lyric to a song.
Right.
That goes to tell you that children know a lot more than we think they do. We don't give them enough credit. They're like sponges.
Mm-hmm.
They're sucking in everything that they see and hear, and they're repeating it, and many of them are doing it. And so we have to be very careful. We have to be much more cautious around our children. I mean, there are things that we can do, such as, you know, not allowing our children to watch certain movies, to listen to certain music. Yes, that does have an effect on them. Yes, that does pique their curiosity. You know, I said in my book, there was one movie in particular that I watched as a child that had it really had a stronghold on me, because I would always think about that movie and just the things that happened in this particular movie sexually. I thought about it for a number of years. So, yes, what we allow our children to see visually does affect them. We can be more cautious as to not allowing our children to spend a night over so many different people's homes. That is
right, and see, I never got into that, and I don't know if it's maybe, well, my sons say that I'm very overprotective, but at any rate, I think that's probably why, is because nowadays, well, not even just nowadays, forever, it's always been that you should really pay attention, number one, to who your kids' friends are. And not only that, you may have met the kid, but have you met the parent? Because
yes.
I've had kids to stay over at my house, and I literally have to reach out to meet their parent because they haven't made themselves available to me. You know, and I'm like, well, how are you allowing your son to come over to spend the night, but I don't even know you? You know what I mean?
Yes, and that was something else that I was going to say. The fact that we need to know who our children are around. And I'm not just talking about babies. I'm talking about teenagers as well. Because, yes, a lot of people don't experience sexual abuse until they become teenagers. I know a young lady that I'm very good friends with. Her sexual abuse didn't start until she was 14 years old. So I'm not just talking about little children. I'm talking about older children as well. We need to know who their friends are. People are abused by their friends' fathers or their friends' mother or other people in their friends' homes. So you brought up a very good point there.
Yeah, and what I enjoyed, too, about the book, The Enemy Between My Legs, guys, we're speaking with author Stephanie L. Jones, if you're just now tuning into the show, and we're discussing The Enemy Between My Legs, which is a book about sexual abuse. And it's a must read. It's a must read if you have children, if you know someone who has children, if you have been sexually abused yourself or maybe know someone who has, this is definitely a must read. Now, Stephanie, what I wanted to ask you, it looks in this book that you really give, it's almost like a manual. You're telling the signs of sexual abuse. You know, what to look for, that sort of thing, how to go and get help, how to release yourself. Was that your intention, you know, to make sure that people had somewhat of a manual to kind of navigate through sexual abuse?
Yes, I wanted to make sure that I didn't just tell my story.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times when people write or people are expressing things, it's a way, it's like therapy for them, so they're just getting it all out of them, and they just tell their story. I didn't want to just tell what happened to me. I wanted to make sure that by the end of the book that the reader also saw hope, that they felt, oh, okay, you know, I can get over this. There's a way for me to move forward in life. So I made sure that I included the steps that I personally took to find hope, to find peace, to find healing in my own life. And then I wanted to make sure that I also talked about some signs. Give the parents, give also children things to look for that could have happened to them that they didn't even think was sexual abuse. I wanted to talk about those things that are not always mentioned when you hear child sexual abuse, such as games that children play, like playing house or a doctor. I wanted to give as much information as I could without making the book overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. And I think you did a great job.
Thank you so much. It's not a long book. It's only 132 pages. I'm telling you, most people tell me, I read your book on a plane.
It's a very easy read. Uh-huh.
Yes, that I did on purpose. I wanted to make sure that it was clear, that it was short, that it was to the point. I didn't go into a lot of details. I didn't provide a lot of names. I didn't want to do that. I wanted it to be easy to read, and I wanted people to walk away with some knowledge, and I wanted them to walk away feeling hopeful.
Absolutely. Well, I think you accomplished that. And, you know, as far as going into the schools, we have 6 minutes remaining in the show. Stephanie, I have to have you back on the show. This is very vital information, and I think it's the type of discussion that we should be having here on Mental Notes. So I would definitely like to take this opportunity to invite you back at some point to visit us here.
I would love to come back. Thank you. I appreciate it. I would love to come back.
Okay,
but so much we didn't touch on.
Exactly. And it's just, it's a huge topic, you know, but right now the show is only a 30-minute show. So I would definitely love to have you back. But I do want to ask before you leave us, as far as going into the school system or going into our communities, and places where we can actually go and speak to people, what advice would you give someone who wants to give back or who wants to help in this arena?
I would first tell them to make sure that they are healed themselves. Do not go into the school systems. Do not go out unless they are fully healed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And or they are in the position where they are going through the steps, taking the steps in their life to move forward and to get help for themselves and healing for themselves. And the reason I say that preposition is because people will find out that individuals will dump everything on them.
Mm.
And when I mean everything, they'll tell you just graphic details about what has happened to them. And if you have not received healing yourself, if you're not well yourself, then it will not help the person, and it will not help you.
Mm-hmm.
Because it will be too overwhelming. It would be too much for them to handle. There's no way that I could handle a young girl saying to me, you know, my father has had sex with me, and my mother has had oral sex with me. If I were not healed myself, it would just be too much.
Sure.
So that is, I think that's so important. I think that is number one. Make sure that they are spiritually and emotionally and mentally themselves in the position to handle what people will share with them so that they can help other individuals.
Great. Okay, Stephanie, thank you so much again for joining us here on Mental Note, and we will definitely be in touch really, really soon. Author guys, Stephanie L. Jones, the author of the book, The Enemy Between My Legs. Go and pick that up at your local bookstore as soon as possible. It is definitely a must read. Okay, Stephanie, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. I appreciate you. And they can visit my website, too, which is StephanieLJones.com.
Okay, guys, you got that? StephanieLJones.com. All right, Stephanie, have a great day.
You, too. Enjoy your weekend and your holiday.
Yeah, it is Memorial Day, right?
Yes.
Happy Memorial Day.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Until next time. Hi, guys. Thanks for sticking around. You're listening to that show, Mental Note. It's your open discussion on entertainment news, current events, books, movies, fashion, and much, much more. Be sure to tune in first thing in the morning for another dose of Mental Note. It's that show, Divine Time, your Sunday morning prayer and inspiration, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, in all things, peace and love. Until we speak again, have a wonderful, wonderful Memorial Day.